Joe David Wilson has graduated from this life. Going forward, we will continue to honor his legacy, knowledge, and love of thy Lord by continuing to play sermons pre-recorded prior to his graduation. We invite you to honor his memory by attending worship services or joining us online for a further Bible study.
Welcome to In Search of the Mind of God. We invite you to search with us the mind of God. Searching his mind, we can always be sure our salvation will not be based on man's ideas or false feelings. It will never be our purpose to promote any denominational doctrine of any religious group. Man is fallible. God is not. This program is brought to you by the Port St. Lucie Church of Christ, 384 East Midway Road, White City, Florida. Bible study courses and personal teaching are available. We purpose to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Death is not our end. It is only the beginning. Man was created by God. And death is not the master of our house. Death is only the porter at the king's lodge, appointed to open the gate and let the king's guest into the realm of eternal day. And the Bible says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The range of 70 years is not the limit of our life. Our life is not a landlocked lake enclosed within the shorelines of 70 years. Our life is not a land where the shorelines seem to meet in old age. Actually, in old age, that's where they open up into a realm of infinite water, to a place that is called the Great Beyond. And so we build as we live from day to day to enter into those larger waters that will follow the stay here. We must lay our plans on the scale of the infinite, not as though we were all only pilgrims of time, but we lay our plans as the children of eternity. To learn how we shall live today in prospect of the eternal tomorrow is the goal of Christ for his sons and his daughters. As the scriptures has cried out and we've not answered, what is man that thou art mindful of him? We did not just begin here just to crumble back in the dust. Ours is not a plight of desecration and destruction, which we see as the body grows old and begins to terminate. The greatest creation that God has ever brought into existence is not intended and was never meant for eternal doom. God prepared hell for the devil and his angels. He did not prepare hell for man. Because God has made man, then we cannot sequester man on the shores of time as though he will be and will not be and can never be again. There's a lot of people that see time and death as the means of termination. But man is never intended to not be. Man has 2/3 of his anatomy that are eternal. And the other third, that the 2/3 is the soul and the spirit, the other third, which is the human body, is in the process of changing. In the physical realm, it goes back to desecration and dust and debauchery and destitution. But that God has planned for the resurrection of the body shows without question or doubt that God had something more in mind than just to stay in this planet Earth. There's more to us than flesh and blood. We see this a whole lot of times when we've been apprised of or been around a person in the operating room where they've amputated certain parts of his anatomy. And when the man wakes up, the first thing he cries out, "Where's the rest of me?" But we don't look at death as the amputation of one destitute part of our existence so that we might gain another. We're more than a cold slab of clay and death. If we could see through the eyes of understanding, we would know that at death, sin had lost its sting. For you see, the sting of sin is the separation from God. Many times I've read 1 Corinthians 15, 54 through 58, where it says the sting of death is sin. And a lot of times people think, well, that means the mortal dying, the physical body. No, the sting of death, the sting of separation was brought about by sin. Because we've been separated from God through sin. And if we could only see that death is not the end of our existence, we would be preparing with a lot more vehemency and a lot more strength and a lot more enthusiasm with the period of time that comes after death than we have been in preparing for life previous to death. Again, parables. To explain this, Jesus taught in parables. When Jesus came to the world, he came to teach men. They were the offspring of God. They didn't have any idea what he was talking about. He knew they couldn't understand. So Jesus began to explain to them the parabolic nature of the Word of God that he gave. The God of nature was the God of life. And the principle of life was the same order in all, be it vegetable or animal. And the difference being animals that have been existent without the nature of God in them, although they had made, had life breathed into them, was not given a life eternal soul. Now there's one thing that you're going to have to understand as you prepare for life. And that is, we are always in existence. Somebody says, well, I know that's wrong because I go to the graveyard. And I see where the body of my mother or father or friend or cousin or nephew or whomever lies. You only see a part of what had existed at one time as a whole. You don't see the larger part of the anatomy of that individual, because the larger part of that anatomy of the individual is gone. Now the question comes, where does it go? Many times people don't even understand there is such a thing as life after death. They mock and make fun of it and act as though it's a ridicule that only the religious or the weak or those who need a crutch have to bear. But the reality of the situation is this, that when man was created, he was created in soul and spirit as eternal. They are just different bodies called the Bible temples in which man dwells. Because of these different bodies or temples, we think it may be a different individual or a different entity, but they are not. We are the same. That is within you which came about at the moment of conception, which was given us of Christ, is that which will outlast any temporal, physical anatomy that man may have. When you study the teacher, Jesus Christ, you understand that he teaches through his apostle Paul that man has at least two houses in which he may dwell. But that is him is really not either. Now turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Paul says, we know that if the earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our home which is from heaven, our house which is from heaven. If so, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought the selfsame thing in us is the Holy Spirit, whom God hath given us. I want you to notice something. Maybe you don't mark in your Bibles, maybe you do. As far as I know, nobody's told us that that's unscriptural or has anything to do with being anything but a Christian. But have you ever noticed that Paul keeps using the word we? Look at it as you go through this first five verses. We know. We groan. We do not desire to be naked. We are in this tabernacle that burdens us or keeps us separated from the fellowship or the presence of God, which we'll read about in a few minutes. We do want to be unclothed so that we can be clothed upon with mortality, so that that which is of the flesh can become as immortal as the soul and the spirit, which is eternal. We. If you keep looking at the verbiage and you keep looking at what you read, you'll find out that we are neither of those bodies. Look at it again. We know that of our earthly house. Well, that doesn't mean that house is we or me. That's just a place in which the me or we, you and I, reside. We know that the earthly house of this tabernacle is of we, again, have a building with God. A house not made with hands. There's another house. So we started out in one house, and we go to another. But neither house is the we. There is something more of man than that people can see. God has shown us by the parable of creation the concept of mankind. Look at an egg. I bought some eggs yesterday. When I went to look at the eggs, I opened up the cover to see if there's any cracks in there because I didn't want them to run out. And I didn't want to have one less egg than what I started with. But what I went to see when I looked at the egg was not anything but the shell in which the yolk and the fluid was housed. Now, man sees the human body, and he thinks that that's always what he is. And because that's what he thinks he is at all times, that's more than likely the reason that he does so much to prepare to live here on the earth. Of course, the sad part is you keep looking in the mirror, you'll find out what you prepared to live in this earth is not prepared to live here that long. Something's going wrong. Look at a peach. about peach the other day, and the first thing I did instinctively was grab it and open it up, and I looked in there, and there was a seed. I was looking for life. The pump was not life. That's why I ate. The seed was not life. So I opened up the seed. Inside, I saw the kernel. If I were going to be able to plant trees or plant that which would make peach trees, I would take the peach in its pulp and all of its glory, plant it into the ground, and think that that would be the means by which it would reproduce itself. Because when that peach reproduces itself, it comes up as wood. Does the wood of the peach tree look much like the pulp of the peach? Does it look much like the seed? Or does it look anything like the kernel if you go beyond the seed? So you have the parable of nature. God showing that that which is sown will not be that which is reaped. It grew from the life of the tree that bore it. And as it grew, it became greater and more preponderant. Until at the consummation of the journey in which it was given to travel, the glory of the one was not the glory of the other. If we spend all of our time trying to determine that to take care of this life in this world, in this body, and keep it all fixed up, medicated, prepared, and planned, and all that, and that's all we ever do in this life is to take care of the body, what would you think about somebody who all they did as a peach farmer did all they prepared to do just to go pulp? It's on the outside of the seed. And what would you think of somebody who was going to grow chickens that all they did was spend all their time worrying about the shell and never the yolk or the embryo or the chicken that's inside that yolk? If life was not brought about by its own works, but by the works of the embryo, then our trying to take care of the outside is showing that we are working for the wrong part of our anatomy. There's only one visible part of our body, just like there's only one visible part as you look at it from the outside of a peach. It's called the meat of the peach, or pulp, or whatever you want to call it. The meat of the peach then only lasts for a season. Why is it that we can't see that what God has shown us with vegetation and life is that which is comparable and a parabolic instruction concerning our anatomy? The peach is made to grow and ripen and die, or be eaten. And for that reason, it has a different purpose than what we understand. But there's a lot of people that think death is punishment. They think death is destruction because of evil doing. How many times have you talked to people in this world and they'll say, well, Johnny died the other day, he's only 18 years old, man. He died before his time. No, he didn't die before his time. He died exactly at the right time. He died at the time appointed to his Creator. Hebrews 9:27, it's once appointed unto man to die. You die at the exact time of the appointment that is given to you by the Creator of all things. Death is not punishment. Death is not being brought into the charnel house of destruction and ignominy. Death is the natural process by which we enter into a new existence. Look at the peach. Look at the egg. Look at the trees. Look at everything that God has created. It can't reproduce itself. Because within that, there is no image of the life that is yet to be. Inside the peach, we have the second house called the seed. It is not yet to be eaten because it only has one purpose. Its substance or its makeup is the same as the tree from which it came. But in it, there is no image of that fruit. Its purpose is to house the unseen part of this peach. And its purpose is to mature the kernels until the peach again can exist. The peach must die or the kernel can never become a tree or enter into a new life. So with the idea that death is punishment, death is just the beginning. Death is not the master of the house. He's the porter at the king's lodge. Death, when the meat is taken away, or the outside covering, or the outside body, or the pulp, the kernel is needed to cover the seed that it clothes. As Paul says, lest it be naked. And until the kernel is ready for the third, our new body, which is the tree, it has not accomplished its purpose. Now, look at life. God has explained this. We look at animals and vegetables. We look at things that God has made. We see the parable that he has shown us. Yet we do not understand why man dies. And so people cry out, why am I here? What is my purpose in existing? I'm only going to die like everybody else. But you don't understand the purpose of life and death. The life of the kernel is in the life that is in the tree. The tree is the same body as the kernel and contains the same life as the kernel. If that's a fact, then the life of the kernel is the life of the tree. That which is in humanity is called the soul and spirit. It is that which is not that which will be means of understanding what we have when life is over. And it is not that for which we should spend our time and develop. Now, of course, we're commanded to take care of the body. As a child of God, the Bible teaches that you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, which belongs to God. You see, as a Christian, the body has been claimed, reclaimed. It was claimed as you were baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, and God grants to you the gift of the Holy Spirit. Until then, that body did not belong to God. Turn to 1 Corinthians 6:19. You're probably not that far away if you're in 2 Corinthians 5 yet. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, I quoted for you. At this time, I'll read it. It's pretty simple. It says here, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? And ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. When a person dies, the life that he had as temporal has the possibility of becoming non-terminable. This possibility in non-termination has a place whereby that which is immortal shall reside. If that which is inside is non-terminable, which would cause that which is in the outside immortal. For us to reside, there first has to take place death. And when death comes, the means of our existing eternally has been brought into a reality. And the portal of life, or the means of living, is that the kernel will remain in the second house until it is ready to sprout and generate into a new life, or into a third house. Be it 1, 2, 10 years, or however long it would be. And the second house is not limited to only a few days like the first house. It will last until the season of coming into a new life. This is the law of God. But all that is in everything that we have discussed here this morning is the we, or the I, that is within you. Now, everything that I am, and everything that's a part of me, and everything that God has prepared, is for the I that is within me. Then how woeful and reticent and unprepared is the person who does not care for anything that is of me, that presently exists, that is eternal. Even though this that is within this outshell, or this temple in which I dwell, goes through a process that is terminated, it comes into something that will be immortal, in which I can reside, and even that of which death cannot bring a resistance. Now, if you take the kernels of the seed and put it in warm soil and water and watch the process, you'll see it divides into two halves. One forms a leaf, and the other, joined in the center, becomes a stem. This is called the stalk with a root. To take hold of the earth, this stalk goes down into the earth and gains life and existence. It has now become the image of its creator. Or it's a tree again. When man is planted into the earth, he is that which dissipates or goes back into the dust. And in that dust, there is that within him that can form the stalk that's rooted into the earth. And at the resurrection day, when Jesus shouts the final reveille, that which had planted in the earth will come forth again in the likeness of him who created it, which is Jesus Christ. And it is again that which God has made. For us to misunderstand the purpose of life, the purpose of death, and the consummation of these things that are taught by the scriptures is to misconstrue the parabolic nature of seeds, plants, animals, life, and to cry out, if a man die, shall he live? If a person understands these principles and understands this that God has commanded, you will know that it's not if a man die, but when a man dies. And it's not shall he have seed or be reproduced in the likeness of his creator, but will he? I talk to a lot of people about this subject, and a lot of times I get kind of a blank stare in their face, and hopefully we'll be able to make sure that that blank stare disappears today. But turn with me to the book of Acts, Romans, the 8th chapter. And let's look and see what the Apostle Paul taught in the 8th chapter of Romans that is misunderstood by a lot of other people. Look, in verse 10, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. I talk to a lot of people and I say, hey, you know, that's resurrection. The only people that will have an immortal body are they that had the Spirit of God within them at death. And they'll look at me and they'll say, you mean to tell me there's no body in which they who have not been baptized into Christ be resurrected? I read them the verse. I think it's pretty simple. Look at verse 11. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now let's look at the seed and the kernel again. The kernel, when put into the mother earth with water and watching, goes through a process. If it is not in the kernel that life comes, then there will not be the division of the kernel into something from which a root, as the stalk will be, could take place. If that root cannot come forth, it will not reproduce the image of that from whence it came. And once it comes forth, then it is again the image or the likeness of its creator, and again can become something from which life can come. Now there's no great wisdom of Solomon that there's there that we cannot understand, but we do really comprehend for the first time what is the most valuable part of the entity in which we now live. It is the eye that is within all these houses. It is that which is non-terminable. It is that which is not called immortal, because that is spoken of only as to the body. It is that which is eternal. There are things that are eternal which will have no immortality. The reason that something that is eternal will have no immortality is because the seed was not in there. The seed, according to the Bible, is the Word of God. The Word of God is that which teaches, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. When you understand that you've got to believe and be baptized to be saved, it is in this baptism something that can't be seen by the eyes of flesh that this person has been again planted into something that will cause them to come forth in the image of him who created them. In the book of Ephesians, the first chapter, the 13th and the 14th verses, Paul says to the church of Christ at Ephesus, simply, in whom he also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also ye have believed, ye were sealed unto with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. I said, well, that sounds like a whole bunch of stuff. Well, here. The Bible teaches that when the word of God finds a resting place in your heart, it there attaches itself. And because of it, it has within it a means of reproducing that which is in the image of God. And that soul and spirit to which it attaches is that which then by the physical body, sown in weakness, but raised in power. Sown in a physical body, raised in a spiritual body. To be like him who created him. Are in the image of the Creator. And that's the Word of God, which by obedience allows you to become a child of God so that you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There is no way to seal, to put an impress of guarantee or to put a signal of ownership of the body that you live in. And if that seal is not put on, which is the gift of the Holy Spirit, because of obedience to the Word of God, then the seed which began cannot reproduce the result of its creator. So for somebody to say that in all the analogy of time, we've spent all of this effort in trying to take care of the spirit and the soul, we've wasted our time, is to realize that there are people that don't know what man really is. Have prepared for the wrong part of our anatomy. Have no concept that the we can exist in many bodies, but it's always the same. And because we deem eternal life with God as the greatest blessing that could ever be received, spend our time in obedience, having received the impress or the guarantor or the down payment or the verification of the Spirit of God, so that the exact likeness of our Creator will be ours at the resurrection. Paul puts it this way: that which is sown in weakness is raised in power. That which is sown in a natural body shall be raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. We, who then are children of God, are raised because of the gift of the Spirit and the impress of the Word of God and obedience, which has caused us to take care of the I that is within me, or the we that is within us, has allowed us to come forth in the strength and power of the Creator who caused us to be. Because we were made in His image. To be made in the image of God, then, is to be a part of the Church of Christ. As you're baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, God gives you the gift of the Spirit. I was speaking with Mike. We were studying the Bible today, or the other day. And he said, what exactly does the gift of the Spirit do for you? Well, I said, you know, I'll probably begin a series to try to teach this, because there's a lot of people that don't understand. They think the gift of the Spirit, according to the Pentecostal persuasion, is some giddy, ignorant, non-restrainable speaking of some language that they can't understand and nobody else can either, and that's what the Bible is talking about. Folks, listen, we're talking about God. He didn't start with this silly babble. He didn't start with this idiotic concept. He started with a concept which teaches a message or a lesson that would allow us to know what He had prepared for the faithful. I have people tell me every once in a while they don't believe they have to be baptized to be saved. That's like telling me you don't believe you've got to be buried in the earth to be brought back in the spiritual body that Jesus Christ has prepared. You see, in order to have this body that God has prepared spiritually, that the Creator made, we have to go through this process of death and resurrection, so that we could come out in the same stage or same kind or the same image as He who created us. So what is man? He's the only being that God has ever made that can be resurrected in the image of God. Which man will be resurrected in the image of God? He who is sown in weakness and raised in power. What made He who was sown in weakness the ability to be raised in power? He was given the gift of God, which is the Holy Spirit, which was the seal in the days of Rome when you were going to go to receive the rite of adoption. There would be 12 men that would write letters and it would be sent to the praetorium. And as it was sent to the praetorium, if there was ever a question of you taking over the right or the position that the adoption papers had allowed you, they would send for one of those letters from one of those men that was on record or in file, who were citizens of Rome, which were there at the time you were adopted to verify or to determine that you really are that adopted being that can take over that position of glory and honor that had been given you. When we are resurrected at the second coming, there will be the recognition without question or doubt of those who have received the gift of the Spirit by the body in which they are resurrected. How is it that somebody receives the gift of the Spirit? Not by having water sprinkled on them. Not by saying, you know, I got baptized because I just thought it was a good idea. Not because it's just some religious experience I wanted to go through, but it's because you know that this is obedience to the command of the Word of God, the seed, that you by obedience and rendered, and you received the gift of the Spirit, which was the seed of your inheritance, which allowed you at the resurrection of the great day to be raised in the power and in the image of the Creator. Years ago when I started studying scriptures, I saw that there was something that was completely different about the existence of the resurrected saints that was not in any sense of the word like those who had never become saints of God. There's going to be something visible, something that you could see, something that you'll recognize. You'll know. He said, if the earthly house of this tabernacle was dissolved, we have a building of God. But this is that of which is unclothed. We have to be clothed upon again. You see, when a person is unclothed, he leaves this body and goes to the dust. At the resurrection, this body is cut, this person, this I, this we, is clothed again with that spiritual body, which is given to us because of the gift of the Spirit that God has given us. Now, he says we know these things. And so is the self-same Spirit in 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, whom God hath given us. Somebody says, well, I don't want to be baptized for the Christ for the remission of sins. Okay, in what do you want to be resurrected? Nakedness or in a body? Yeah, but my religious... Wait, your religious experience is not from a commandment of God. What God has commanded you to do, you must obey. Now, he has given us this Spirit in seed form. If it attaches in our hearts so that we become obedient to it, then at the resurrection, that which is the likeness of that which was the Creator will come again in soul fashion. And we'll know, if we know nothing else, why we receive the gift of the Spirit. If you're here this morning and need to respond to the invitation of the gospel, Jesus still commands he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We're going to invite you to stand and come as we sing, if you have that desire.
To God be the glory.
We hope you have profited from today's study of the Mind of God. If you would like a tape of today's program, write to the Port St. Lucie Church of Christ, 384 East Midway Road, White City, Florida, 34982. Remember, never take man's word, only God's word, the Bible, demanding a book, chapter, and verse for everything you accept as belief. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of In Search of the Mind of God, with Minister Joe Wilson.
If you enjoyed today's sermon, read our regularly updated blog for insightful articles by visiting us online at pslchurchofchrist.com. If you would like to watch previous sermons, they can be viewed on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/pslchurchofchrist. Connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/pslchurchofchrist. Or, if you prefer to visit us in person to learn more on Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m., as well as Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m., and you can visit us at 384 East Midway Road next to Walgreens. See you next week.
Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin, let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Coming back.